It's great to be back home, and
I suppose it's not surprising that having been away on a cruise that my mind should be turned towards a passage of scripture which involves a boat and which involves sailing. We ourselves, we went to the Caribbean islands, and to get there we had to cross the
Canary Islands.
Did I not say that?
No.
I was just checking to see whether you were listening. The Canary Islands, and we had to cross the Bay of Biscay, and sometimes the Bay of Biscay can be very rough, but we praise God that we had a smooth passage across and a smooth passage back, unlike the ship that left, that we embarked from. The new passengers, we've received news through that the Bay of Biscay was so bad that to tie the furniture down, one restaurant was out of use, and everybody was hanging on for dear life. But cruising is just a wonderful pastime, providing that you're not in rough seas. I want us to look at this passage of scripture, which we find in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 4, and the key verses there on the screen, and relation to our theme, we are continuing with the theme of go, and this time it's go, and we are called to cross. To cross what? Well, we'll have a look at that in a moment. This is what Mark writes. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. I'm always fascinated by that little statement. You'll find it only in Mark's Gospel, that little throwaway. There were also other boats with him. I wonder what they were thinking. I wonder what they were expecting. Anyway, it goes on to say, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him." As you know by now, after having listened to me over so many years, I love alliteration. And so the next screen will give you every alliterated point that I'm going to cover within half an hour. And I want to begin by asking you about relationships. Relationships are complicated, aren't they? It says, as far as relationships are concerned, that you don't really get to know someone until you have lived with them. I don't know whether, Megan, you're discovering things about your new husband that have surprised you, or whether at the moment there are no surprises.
There are no surprises.
Don't you believe it? We've been together for 55 years and she still surprises me. But relationships, they are things that develop over time. Friendships, we begin a friendship, and as the friendship develops, so we get to know one another. We get to a point where that friendship deepens, where trust grows, where there's that sense of we know the likes and dislikes of the person that we have connected with. And we as followers of Jesus need to be aware that he wants the relationship we have with him to develop and to grow, to become deeper, for us to experience something of the connection with him which initially started when we accepted him as Lord and the Saviour, but which develops and which grows month by month, year by year. In the understanding that as that relationship develops and grows, so we have a clearer understanding of his mind, a clearer understanding of his voice, a recognition of what it is that pleases him, a recognition of what it is that doesn't please him. To live in that place where there is such an intimacy between us that there is a connection rooted and based upon the foundation of true love. And it's with that in mind that this story is told. It's all about relationship. And it begins with this directive. Let's go over. One of the things that you and I need to realize is that in our Christian journey, we cannot stay in the same place. It is true to say that if we choose to, and we don't want to develop in our faith, and don't want to develop in our experience and knowledge of Jesus, that is our prerogative. But the heart that God has for you and for me is that we continue to journey with him. And that involves stepping out of the familiar into the unfamiliar. Stepping out of a possible arena where we know everything that's going on, where we're comfortable, where we're settled, and beginning to take a journey into the unknown. Here is Jesus saying to his followers, I want to go across to that side. They didn't really know what that side was going to lead them into. Interestingly, if you read Mark's gospel, you'll discover that he takes them to a place where there is a man who is possessed by demonic spirits. There's a whole experience there that unfolds. It's the place where we suddenly discover that Jesus has control over the demonic and deals with it. But the fact remains that as far as the disciples were concerned, all they were told was that Jesus says, I want to go over there. I wonder whether Jesus has said to some of you, I want you to move from where you are into something new, into something fresh. Whether he's beginning to say to you, there's an area in your life where I want to expand you and develop you. It might not necessarily be a different part of sort of the territory that you're in, but it could be in your own spiritual life and experience. There is a ministry that he is opening up to you, and he's saying to you, I want to step you into something that is fresh, new, and that you've not experienced before. Are you hearing him say, take a journey with me? And are you like the disciples responding to that command, saying, okay, let's go? I know in my own life that there have been times when I felt that God has told me to step out in faith in a certain way, and there's been a hesitation. There's been an element of uncertainty. I don't like being in a place where it's uncomfortable. But I recognize that there are times when God wants to make us uncomfortable, because it's part of the developing of our relationship with him. And so, having said to them, let's go over to the other side, we then see that he has in mind a destiny for them. He has a point where he wants to take them for them to experience something which they have not experienced before. God always has a destiny for us. In fact, if we go to the Gospel of John, John chapter 10, there Jesus speaks about the fact that he is the good shepherd, and he talks about how he leads his sheep out to lead them in. In the time that I've been involved in leadership of church life, there have been times when people have come to speak to me about what they felt God was saying to them. And sometimes they've come and they've said, we feel that God is leading us out. And I have said to them, okay, where is he leading you to? Because I very much believe he leads us out to lead us to. He doesn't lead us out just to leave us in some sort of place where we are unaware of where we should be going and what it should be meaning. Here we see a destiny is very clearly portrayed. I'm leading you across to that place over there. And if God is speaking to you and giving you a sense of direction and guidance into something fresh and something new, then understand that you need not only to be coming out from where he's leading you, but you need to know where he's leading you to. In the Old Testament, we read how that God led the children of Israel with the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. It was the evidence of his presence amongst them, but always it was an indication that his presence went before them. They followed where his presence took them. They were led into the place where his presence was there residing. There were times when they came to a stop because his presence stopped. But when his presence moved, they moved with his presence. And so it must be for you and I, that as he lays that destiny in our hearts for us to move, we move in the recognition that we are continuing to remain in the place of where his presence is paramount, where we yearn and desire to live in the place of his presence, where we recognize that we're in the center of his purposes and his plans. But then it goes on to say this, that they took him along. I'm so glad for divine companionship. I would hate to be traveling through this life without Jesus being with me. Isn't it good to know that Jesus has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. We have this companion that is so faithful to us. This companion that is always there with us. This companion that is wanting to have that intimate relationship with us so that he is part of our lives. You see, we don't just meet with Jesus when we come to church. We meet with Jesus when we get up in the morning. We meet with Jesus when we go through the day. We meet with Jesus when we have our evening meal. We meet with Jesus as we go to bed that night. We meet with Jesus as we sleep. Jesus is present with us by the Spirit of God. He is there, involved in every part of your life, in every part of your day-to-day routine, in the good days and in the bad days. He is there as your companion. He is there as your friend. He is there as that person that you can rely upon and trust in no matter what it is that is unfolding in your life. Never leave Jesus behind. Always take him with you. Always know that he is there by your side. See, for those two disciples that were on the road to Emmaus, as they were traveling, having come to the position that as far as they were concerned, Jesus was dead, they were caught out and amazed when they meet with this stranger who accompanies them and then suddenly reveals who he is to them. And their response is, didn't our hearts burn within us as they listened to this amazing Bible study? I really am quite envious of them, really. I would love to have listened to this Bible study from Jesus, taking the truth of the Old Testament and revealing how they referred to him and to his sacrifice and to his resurrection. And they come to that place where over a meal, you see again, relationships develop over meals. That's why I love meals, in case you haven't noticed. I think there's just something special about sitting down with people and having a meal. Just enjoying fellowship and friendship. And that's what Jesus did. And I've said before in the past, and indeed I did a series on it, how that Jesus is so often portrayed as being in a place where he's having a meal with someone. You know, Zacchaeus, I want to come to your house for tea. No reference to what was about to happen in Zacchaeus' life as a result of that meeting over tea. It was transformational, but it was over a meal. And so here is Jesus in company with them in the boat. They were complying with his instructions and they had followed the directive they'd been given. They knew that there was a destiny that he was leading them towards. They had this divine companion with them. But despite all of that, they suddenly enter this difficult episode in their lives. The storm strikes. For us, a number of you will know through the prayer chain that just before we left to go on our cruise, our youngest daughter, Linda, fell. She is special needs, and she broke two bones in her foot. They think she may have chipped her ankle as well, and she ended up in hospital. We went and felt there was nothing we could do. We went on our cruise and left the responsibility for keeping an eye on their sister with our other three children. And they would update us from time to time. What we did not know until we came back was that there came a point where there was a family conference between our three children about how much they should tell us about the deteriorating situation with Linda. They decided that we couldn't do anything, and therefore they would not actually disclose what was going on. And they took responsibility for liaising with the doctors and with the hospital, and we, in one sense, were in this place of blissful ignorance of the challenges that were taking place. We would ask you to continue to pray for Linda. She's receiving blood transfusions at the moment. She has possible blood clots. There are other complications that they are trying to resolve. She never does things by half, as Linda. She breaks her foot and somehow it ends up with quite a major issue. But in all of that, what I'm saying is that suddenly the rubber hits the road, because you find yourself in the storm. You find yourself where circumstances shake you to the core, where you almost don't know what to do. You almost wonder how on earth you're going to get out of this. That's why I can understand where the disciples were coming from at this point in time. See, the storm had arisen. Being fishermen, they were used to storms, so this must have therefore been one that was a terrific storm that caused them to be fearful. They were living in a place where they genuinely thought, we are not going to survive this. Despite the fact that the directive to go across that lake had been given by Jesus. Despite the fact they had been given a destiny that they were going to go to. Despite the fact that the presence of the Creator was in the boat with them, they still were impacted by this difficult experience that was taking place in their lives. See, we're not excluded from fear. We're not excluded by being impacted by the circumstances that suddenly can hit our lives. And if at this moment in time you're someone that's going through turmoil, heartache, challenges, difficulties, circumstances in your personal life, circumstances in your family life, maybe health issues, issues that might relate to finances, issues that might relate to your occupation. Let me say to you that it's okay if there's an element of fear. It's okay if there's a sense of uncertainty about your future. It's okay if there's all sorts of emotions that well up within you, despite the fact that you are a follower of Jesus. Despite the fact that you know Jesus with you, you still feel all those human responses. And here are the disciples, now at a point where they can't cope any longer. There's only one person who, in the midst of all of this, is in complete quietness, complete calm, complete stillness, in a place of complete trust. And he's asleep, and his name is Jesus. See, Jesus was in control even in the midst of the storm. For some of you, you need to know Jesus is in control in the midst of your storm, your turmoil,
your chaos, your challenges, your difficulties, the issues that you are grappling with, he's still in control. In our case, for Maureen and me, he's still in control of the outcome of Linda's life. He's still in control of providing the means and the ways in which she can be restored and renewed and healed. He is in control of all that he wants to accomplish in this moment of crisis for us as a family. And that in the middle of that crisis, there is something amazing that's happening. There is an understanding and deepening of our relationship with him. It's the reason why he allowed the disciples to go through what they were going through at that moment in time. They couldn't see it, they couldn't understand it, and from a human perspective, everything said to them, this is a moment of the end. But from a divine perspective, this was the moment of a new beginning. This was a moment of fresh revelation. This was a moment of divine encounter. This was a moment of miraculous release. This was a moment of a display of power of heaven. This was a moment when they would have a greater awareness of the awesomeness of the one who was sleeping in the boat. The response to him is a response that we often give in the times of our crisis. Don't you care? Don't you care? Sometimes that's the stage we get to. Don't you care, God? Don't you care that I'm suffering this pain? Don't you care that I'm going through this illness? Don't you care that I'm facing the consequences of this that is taking place in my life? Don't you care anymore about me? Don't you care about the loneliness I feel? Don't you care about the hurt that I am experiencing? Don't you care? Fact remains, he does. He never stopped caring. He never will stop caring. You are the most important person in his life, and that implies to each and every one of us. He cares about us. And so we know that he cares about our daughter. We know that he cares about some of the people who are not here with us this evening. People like John Denton, who are going through a really challenging and difficult time. He cares. And so as they say this to him, his response is not one in which he in any way rebukes them. His response to that statement, "Don't you care," is this. He speaks to the storm. He speaks to the wind. He speaks to the sea. And he says, "Be still." And in one sense, not only is he speaking to the natural elements, but I sense he was speaking to those disciples as well. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. And as he spoke those words of stillness, that command that spoke into the chaos and the turmoil that was taking place around them, suddenly there came this amazing, wonderful calm. I just try to imagine the comparison between the moment when chaos was there and the moment when calmness was there. The disciples, filled with fear, suddenly see that fear evaporate as the sea calms, as the wind dies down, as the elements around them respond to that word, that directive given by the Creator himself. And Father wants to speak into some of your lives those very words. Be still. Be still. Know that I am God. In the midst of your chaos, be still. In the midst of the turmoil, be still. In the midst of the questioning, be still. In the midst of the concerns, be still. In the midst of all that is unfolding around you, be still. Because as you are still, you will then know that He is God. For out of that stillness, we discover that as the deliverance flows, so they are suddenly then faced with another question. A question that challenges me so often. Why are you so afraid? Where is your faith? See, part of our journey is to have a greater dependency upon the one who calls us to follow him. And I'm aware in my own life that I can become so independent of the one who has called me. So independent that I rely on my own strength, my own wisdom, my own resources, the things that I am able to control. And so that is why there are times when he leads me into that place where I'm out of control, where I have nowhere else to turn, because in that moment where I have nowhere else to turn, I have no way in which I can get through, there is one who's waiting for me to turn to him. An old song that we used to sing years and years ago. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Here, the disciples were challenged. Why weren't you dependent upon me? Why didn't you trust me? You see, there was no way, even if the boat filled with water, that the boat would sink. There was no way, no matter how severe the storm was, they would ever overcome what God had destined for them. They were in the center of the purpose and plan of God, and Jesus had already indicated, I'm taking you to somewhere fresh and somewhere new, and no storm, no power, nothing will prevent you from experiencing and discovering and knowing this new experience that I'm leading you into. And I know in my own life there are times when my faith wavers. Times when I lose sight of the fact the Creator God is with me. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And the Creator God is with you, and he has determined to enable you to reach your destiny and to achieve all that he wants to accomplish in and through your life. And for us, the ultimate destiny, for those of us who are followers of Jesus, is one day to see him and to become like him. You see, as they recognized their dependency upon him, there's one final thing that they also saw and discovered. Discovery that's uttered in their words to him and to one another. Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? The relationship they had with Jesus, the understanding of who he was, grew as a result of what they had been through. Grew as a result of the journey they had taken. It wasn't simply a case of Jesus wanting to take them into a fresh chapter, but Jesus wanted to take them into a fresh and new and vibrant understanding of his majesty and his power and his greatness. The Apostle Paul on one occasion says these words, oh, that I might know him. That I might know him. And the power of his resurrection. And we would all, I suspect, say, yes, that's what we want, to know him. And the power of his resurrection touching our lives, enabling us to be able to function in such a way that that power is demonstrated to the world around us. But Paul goes on to say, and the fellowship of his sufferings. And that's not such an easy thing. But you see, Jesus had to go through the cross before he obtained the crown. And for you and I, his heart is that we would discover him in a greater sense, in a greater way. That we would indeed know that he is God. And as the worship team come forward, I'm going to ask either John Luke or Maureen, whichever of them know them, or both of them, to just begin to play. And we're going to sing that song, "Be Still and Know That I Am God." It goes on to say, "I am the Lord that healeth thee. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." And as we sing this song, let it not just be a song, but let it be an acknowledgement to the one who is a companion of yours. Some of you are in a good place at the moment. Life is treating you well. You're in that place where there is a quietness and a stillness, but I've got to say to you, there's a storm coming. Because there will be those moments where your faith will be tested and where Father will want you to experience something fresh and new and to discover something in even greater ways of how he's able to work in the midst of the chaos and the midst of the turmoil. For others of you, you are in that place where it seems that maybe things, everything is out of control. You're not sure quite what to do. But all you need to do is to be still and know that he is God.